Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy.
For the last couple months, we have been talking about this idea of choosing light. For those of you who haven't been here for that, we've been talking about what does it look like to live in the light of Christ always, not just in a regular year, but in a year as chaotic as this one has been. It's something that I've been working through a lot in my own life throughout all of the summer and up through this fall, really. What does that look like? What does it look like to see from the perspective that Jesus has given us and to live that calling out? I think trying to do that is a lifelong struggle. That's what leads us into this series today that we're calling Focus. The thought is this: when things are so messy, when life feels so long and so difficult and so arduous and strange, when every day throws us a new struggle, something that stands to tear us apart from each other, when things get divisive, how do we stay focused on Jesus? How do we stay focused on that light that he's given us? How do we tune our ears and our hearts to seek only him and tune everything else out? How do we continue to desire him and to be with him, not just now, but always, when life feels so wearying? And I'm not going to lie, this is the season that I've been in this year. I think a lot of us have. And when I find myself in seasons like this where I'm asking these questions a lot, I tend to go back and reread Philippians, because Paul spends a lot of time in Philippians laying out what it looks like to have a heart that's focused on seeking Christ. And so what I want us to look at today is what Paul has to say in Philippians 3 about holding on to God. Let's take a look at this. Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The way I see it is that Paul is telling us a few things here. The first is this: if you want to receive the prize of the upward call, which, by the way, isn't talking about this splendor of the streets of gold and crowns and all of that stuff. It's talking about that beautiful, eternal relationship with Christ. You don't have the power to summon that on your own. You can't do it in your own strength. You cannot just keep striving and sweating and working and doing good things to get yourself into that place of relationship with Jesus, and one that will survive very long. Believe me on this. If anyone could have, it would be somebody like Paul. Paul is somebody who is qualified in a unique way, in a way that I don't think even I or any of the other teachers here could claim to be qualified. If you read the rest of Philippians 3, and if you read 2 Corinthians 11, you'll find out that he has this to say about himself. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Benjamite. He was of Abraham's seed. He was of a blessed people. He was a former Pharisee who was blameless in the eyes of the law. He was a hard laboring minister of Christ who was constantly moving around and never had a place to settle. He never had rest. He was always tired. He was somebody who was whipped nearly to death at least 5 times. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, and a lot of the time he was in prison. In fact, the only reason we have this passage, Philippians 3, is because he was in prison at the time. because he couldn't physically be in person with the Philippians. If it weren't for his imprisonment, we wouldn't have this word. If that isn't a testimony to what can be done by the Lord in quarantine, I don't know what is. But notice what Paul says. In spite of his many qualifications, in spite of the things that should equip him to be with Jesus every day, perfect Christian, he says, I have not already attained. I'm not perfected. I haven't apprehended. Because Paul understands his own strength, or rather, he understands his lack of strength. He sees that God is the source of strength, and that we need to be with God every day to receive that strength. That's a concept that we find scary. We don't like this idea that we don't have the strength to do anything, because we like to feel determined. We like to not feel helpless. We like the feeling that the work that we put in receives the blessings that we get out. And if I do good things, then I will get to a good place. And if I do bad things, then I will get to a bad place. Let me explain for you why that's not helpful to us. Let me explain to you why it's so much better his way. This is why, because your best efforts aren't good enough to get you there. And your worst efforts probably outnumber them. You are going to fail. We all do. We all have. Even as a Christian school teacher, there are more days than I like to admit where I wake up in the morning and I really just don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to love people well or stop making jokes about people behind their back. I'm almost always in need of correction from the Lord. And that's me after several years of really trying to follow God. And I'm not perfected. When I was younger and I hadn't learned all of this yet, I was even worse. And there are more things that I'm not proud of. The problem with all of these things, not just the bad, but the good too, is that they don't get us there. The times that I've led Bible studies and the times that I've been really hateful to people, the times that I've raised my hands and worshiped loud in reckless abandon, and the times where I stayed silent when I should have been speaking up for the Lord, when I let my works define my relationship with God, they always stand in the way of me being with God. The times where I've done well, they inflate my ego and they make me feel like, I got me here. What do I need the Lord's help for? I got me here. The times where I've failed, I feel incapable. I feel like God can't use a constant screw-up like me. So I find myself in desperate need of the Lord to get me the rest of the way. And the Lord gives us this word through Paul that says that we can forget the things that are behind us. Not just the good things, but the bad things. We can press on for him. And why is that? It's because he has laid hold of it for us. He is the one doing the actual work in us. And if you don't believe me and if you don't believe Paul, Jesus himself has said in John 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. Jesus wants you to understand yourself not as the tree. You're not the tree that can provide for yourself. You are the branch that requires the supply of the main plant to live. So what I'm saying is that if you want to make it, if you want your relationship with Jesus to be fruitful, not just here in high school, but when you're 29 or 40 or 80, you have to recognize that he is the source of all goodness and all strength. You have to lean into him, because if you don't, you will find out quickly what a lot of us have found out this year, that you can't make it. The cares of this life are many and they will wear you down. You will become a withered branch. You won't have withered because you chose to play violent video games or listen to bad music or ignore what your mom had to say and sneak out of the house. You will have withered because you cannot manufacture strength to stay with Christ on your own. The times that you grew It wasn't because you chose to pray for an extra 10 minutes every day that week. It was because you were connected to the very source of life itself. You aren't the source, you're the recipient. You are a branch. You are not the whole tree. So how do you keep going? How do you keep this relationship that you have now growing and thriving for the rest of your life? I think these are the things that you do. First, you recognize that now is the only moment you have every day. You cannot change your past. And I think there's a number of you that recognize this at this point. You can't change anything about what's behind you or how you responded to the actions that happened to you or the things that you did. You are not given the option of going back and reliving every moment of your life to try and get them right. The only thing you can do with your past is reflect on it and forge a new path forward. And your successes in the past have not made you perfect. Your failures haven't disqualified you from God's love, His goodness, or His mercy, as long as you are still striving to be in that relationship with Him, because your work doesn't determine your worth. Your work has never determined your worth. His love and His grace do that. He has made up His mind about your value, and your value to Him is as a child. You are loved, and you are not the work that you can do to achieve that. If you just lean back into the Lord's love, you'll see His care for you as you press on. And I know that this can get confusing sometimes, because leaning back into Him often looks like all of the things that people try to do to work their way to holiness themselves. It looks like praying. It looks like reading your Bible. It looks like loving others well. But I want to help you understand that there is a distinction here. It's not a matter of the works that you do. It's a matter of the heart that you have in doing them. Let me give you an example that will hopefully make this a little bit clearer. There was a time when I was single, and I was trying to find somebody to be in a relationship with. I had this tendency to go on dates and to think, okay, if I just play by the rules of this dating game, and if I do the right things, and if I seem interesting enough on the first date, then I'll make it to another date. And if I just continue to not be too awkward, and be kind of good enough, then I can get to more dates. And if I do that long enough, I'll get to a relationship. And if I just keep not screwing up, then eventually I'll be married, and won't that be great? That's an unhealthy mindset. And that's not how you find real love. In fact, anybody who has been through this dating process will tell you that's how you end up weary. That's how you end up tired and ready to throw in the towel. But when my girlfriend Amanda and I started dating, my focus wasn't on playing by the rules of this weird societal dating game that we've come up with. In fact, I kind of did a lot of the things that they tell you not to do in the rules of those games. I wore cargo shorts on our first date. And I told her a lot of embarrassing stories that went on way too long. And any time I received a text from her, I immediately texted back, like that second. I was completely shameless, and I was so dorky. Not that I'm not still. I did a lot of the right things, too. I showed her respect, and I listened to her, and I spent time with her. And I bought her dinner sometimes. Those are all things people playing the game would tell you are good rules and how to make a relationship thrive. So what changed then? What's the difference? Well, what changed in this circumstance that brought me to a healthy place was that my concern wasn't winning some stupid game so that I could stop being alone. I wasn't just in it to be in a relationship anymore. I was in it to be in a relationship with Amanda. My desire wasn't getting the answers right. It was to be with her, to know her, to be known by her, and to love her. The things that I were doing that were good were no longer in an effort to make her stay or to make her fall in love with me. I knew that she cared about me. I knew that she loved me, and I loved her. And I wanted to show her that. I wanted her to feel the love that I felt. I wanted that to be an outpouring of who I was. And I'm telling you this, leaning back into God looks like that. It's not about trying to play the rules of this weird, stupid, made-up church game we've created. It's not about trying to do that so well that you avoid trouble and that you get into heaven and receive blessings. Leaning into God looks like making your desire for Him the reason that you do everything in this life. It isn't about striving anymore. It isn't about trying to work your way there. It's about pressing into the greatest love that you have ever known and that you will ever experience, fully able to be yourself. Every part of you laid bare, the good and the bad, so completely known and somehow still so loved. It's knowing that you don't have to be strong every day or that you have to make things happen on your own. It's knowing that you can trust Him because He is a beautiful Father that cares about you. And you get to sit with Him. And you get to be with Him and talk to Him. And there's room to breathe in that space. There's room for mistakes, and there's room to succeed. There's room to cling on to Him and hold on to Him. And you get to just rest in Him. So this is what I want to do, Troy Christian. I want to take this next few moments. I want to make space in our day right now for that time of resting. And I want you to sit with the Lord. I don't want you to focus on whether or not you're succeeding in being holy. If you're praying or journaling, I don't want you to focus on whether or not you're doing it right, on whether or not He's pleased with you. He's pleased with every effort that we give Him. So take this time. And if journaling is the way that you feel close to the Lord, bust that thing out. Start writing. Write to Him as if He's here in the room with you. If praying is the way that you feel closer to Him, and sit down, open your hands, and just talk to Him. I remember when I was in junior high back in the day, we had a teacher named Aaron Johnson who told us that sometimes when he prays, he would imagine Jesus standing right beside him, like they were walking somewhere together, and it was just the two of them there in the desert. There are times where I do that. I want you to sit there and just imagine that He's here with you, because He is. Don't let this day go by without trying to encounter Him like He's here, because He is. And He's just waiting to hold you if you will just lean back into His arms and rest in Him.